Nama Om Vishnuvade Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shmati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Niravishesha Shunyavadi Pastya Chadeshatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakalpaturubhyas cha kripa sindhu bhyevacha, paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita ki jai, Srila Sanatan Goswami ki jai, Gopremanande. So, yes, in the second chapter, at least the last part of it, Narada Muni was visiting Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma, towards the end, was urging him strongly that you want to meet the person who really got the mercy from the Lord. Then it's not me. Go and meet Lord Shiva. So eventually, Narada Muni has ended up there. But one detail which we mentioned is that actually, the fact is, there are a number of different forms of Lord Shiva, and those forms are on different levels. Some are more elevated than others. So, at least in the narration at the end of chapter 2, two of those particular forms were mentioned by Lord Brahma himself, and the different levels those two were on, are on, was emphasized, actually. It was emphasized by Lord Brahma himself. So, those two particular forms were the form of Lord Shiva, who is in or on Mount Kailash, within this universe, means he is the popular demigod. He is the popular demigod that every Hindu knows about so extremely well, that Lord Shiva. But he's not on such a high level as the form of Lord Shiva, who is living on Shiva Loka. Shiva Loka is basically, and I say basically, not in the material world any longer, but it is in some particular part of the spiritual realm. It's not exactly a classic Vaikuntha planet, but still it's not within the material world. It's within the spiritual realm, basically. And there is a much more elevated form of Lord Shiva, who is the source of all the different Lord Shiva forms, one of which is in every universe within this world. Every universe. So there's many, many, many of them. So many. And of course they're much higher than we are. But compared to that, the source form of Lord Shiva in Shiva Loka, in that spiritual outside material realm, those many, many forms of Lord Shiva, each universe has one, they're much less. So Lord Brahma, we mentioned, Lord Brahma was concerned that if Narada Muni went there to Kailash within the universe, hoping to see Lord Shiva as the person who has the greatest mercy from the Lord, Narada, he was afraid, Brahma was afraid, Narada would end up disappointed that, you know, what's so special about the mercy that this form of Lord Shiva has. But if he goes there through the coverings of the universe and into that spiritual type realm to Shiva Loka, oh, then it'll be like a real step up from Lord Brahma in Brahma Loka. Lord Shiva on Kailash within the universe, there is great similarities between him between Lord Brahma and that Shiva in Kailash within this universe. But between Brahma and the Shiva on Shiva Loka, that Lord Shiva's just on a different level altogether, and it's very obvious. So yes, this sort of thing happens from time to time in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Someone is about to go somewhere to get some special mercy or for some special reason, but then they get redirected to somewhere else, which is sort of related to the place they were going to go. It's got a connection with the place they were going to go to, but actually it's also different and it's considerably better. Okay, so anyway. So let us begin. The structure here, you know what the structure is? That there's the whole chapter is just one section with subsections. The first subsection, which we'll read right now, is from verse 1 to verse 4. It's Narada Muni arrives in Shiva Loka and glorifies Lord Shiva. So let's just have a look here then. And this, it's just four verses put together as one. Sri Parikshit said, arriving in Shiva Loka, from a distance, the sage Narada saw Lord Shiva, Sri Hara, who had just finished his worship of Lord Sankarshan, Sri Hari, in trance, in ecstatic love. Lord Shiva was dancing and loudly singing the glories of his Lord, while his associates played instrumental music and shouted, Jai, Jai! With great affection, he praised his assistants like Nandishvara, the bull, as well as the goddess Uma, his wife, Parvati, basically, who was expertly clapping her hands. The sight of all this delighted Narada. Vibrating his veena and nodding his head to show respect, he called out several times, "You are the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy. You are the greatest recipient of Krishna's mercy, Haribol. And in a sweet voice, he recounted to Lord Shiva everything just told to him by their father, Lord Brahma. Because Lord Brahma is the father of Narada Muni, of course, as we've discussed. He's also the father of Lord Shiva. Yes. So that was four verses together. And just looking at the verses together, there's a couple of little points we can make. That Narada saw Lord Shiva, who is known as Hara, and Lord Shiva just finished worshipping Lord Sankarshan, who is Sri Hari, Hara Hari, which, you know, on Godrum Dweep, in Navadweep Mandala, on the other side of the Jalangi, the southern side, there is the, not Hara Hari, but Hari Hara temple. There's the Hari Hara temple. And that's the deity, if you've been there, Hariha, is half white and half black, because he's half Lord Shiva, who is white, and he's half Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, who of course is black. So you may have seen that deity Hariha at Hariha Kshetra. And yes, even it said sometimes that, you know the song, Hari Haraye Nama Krishna, Yadavaya Namaha, Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha, you know that song. It said that when Narottam Das Thakur, Srila Narottam Das Thakur is singing the first line, Hari Haraye Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari, of course, is Krishna. Hari, Haraye, can be taken to be Lord Shiva. That they're together, yes. Because Lord Shiva is very glorious. Of course, he's not on the level of Krishna, but still, he's way higher than us. And sometimes, for the sake of pastimes, Krishna and Shiva combine. And this place, Hariha Kshetra in Godrum Dweep, I think that many of you have been there. We always go there on the Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. So that Hariha Kshetra is one of those special places where Krishna and Shiva join together for sort of interactive pastimes. Yes. So anyway, there's a purport here. There's a purport. It's actually quite a long purport. I mean, somewhat long, definitely. And the first thing that's discussed there, it's a nice point, which we can say a few words about, is how Lord Shiva had just finishing his deity of Lord Sankarshan, and in the purport it said that as Narada was watching him, the puja was still going on. The puja was still going on. And Narada Muni was watching the different things that Lord Shiva was doing. and offering different things. And he, Narada Muni, noted that there were similarities between that worship done by Lord Shiva for Lord Sankarshan, who's directly a form of Krishna. There were similarities between the worship that Shiva was doing and the worship that Narada Muni had seen on planet Earth, particularly at Prayag, means the very first event that took place, that Vaishnav Brahmin with his family and assistants and so on, they came down to the river at Prayag, and then the Brahmin Vaishnav with his own hands made a nice altar for his Shalagram Shila, and then did beautiful worship, etc., etc. Narada Muni, in the verse it said that this seeing the sight there, here in Shiva Loka, that the sight of all this delighted Narada. And he was just very happy to see it. And he noticed that it had at least very real similarities, the worship that was going on, to the worship he'd seen in Prayag, and of course that he had seen before in all sorts of different places, done by all sorts of different people on different levels. And the reason for that, of course, very important, is that there's basically one system for worshipping the Lord. It's not just because you're in the heavenly planets that your way of worshipping the Lord is different from if you're on planet Earth. There, at the very least, there are great similarities. So Narada noticed that, and he was happy to see that. Another point which is made here in the purport, and it's another one of these just really wonderful points, is that deity worship is always attractive. It doesn't matter where you are, on what level you are, on what level are the people in the place where you are. Deity worship done very nicely, as certainly Lord Shiva was doing. And of course we heard how nicely the Brahmin Vaishnav at Prayag was doing it also. So worship of the deity, the purport says, attracts both neophytes and advanced souls. But particularly, those who are very advanced devotees, they enjoy intimate relationships with their particular deity. Yes. With their particular deity. And we see that. You know, in Shastra and in our Vaishnav writings, there are so many descriptions of devotees who had their own deities and they were worshipping their deity. And it was a very deep relationship. There's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's the story of Sakshi Gopal. I imagine you're familiar with that. The deity of Krishna who walked from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri, almost to Jagannath Puri at least, just to be a witness about the promise made by one elderly Vaishnav to a younger Vaishnav. Yeah. So, the relationship between the Lord in that deity form of Gopal, who became Sakshi Gopal, the relationship particularly with the young devotee, Brahman, and also with the elderly one who had made the promise, but definitely most particularly with the young one who had been given a promise by the elderly one. Because that young devotee, Brahman, had so much faith in Gopal and just trusted him absolutely. Therefore Gopal felt indebted, and he just had to help the young Vaishnav, and he did by walking from Vrindavan almost to Puri. It's practically just a few kilometers before Puri. You know, that's a good, I don't know what it is, couple of thousand kilometers or something. It's a long way. Even if it's only 1,500, it's really a long way. But the deity, because of the love of the devotee, he felt an intimate relationship with the devotee, the young devotee, Brahman. And so the deity took that trouble, so much trouble, to support and help the young devotee Brahman. And, you know, there are many stories like that, of Sanatan Goswami with Madan Mohan, of Rupa Goswami with Radha Govinda, and so on like that. And very personal things happening. Like in that story of Sakshi Gopal. The young devotee, he's come back all the way back to Vrindavan from almost in Puri. He came back to see the deity again, because the elderly Brahmin devotee did not want to uphold his promise, which would have been bad for him. You know, if you make a promise before the deity and you break your promise, that's bad. So the young Brahmin devotee didn't want the elderly Brahmin devotee to get the severe reactions that would have been there if the elderly devotee had just broken his promise. So he walked all the way back, and he came in front of Gopal in Vrindavan town and explained the situation. And said, "So, Gopal, please come with me, walk with me, and we'll go all the way down there to Puri." But Gopal replied that, "I'm a deity. What makes you think I can walk?" And the devotee said, "Well, deities generally don't speak also." "But now you're speaking to me. So if you can speak, I'm sure you can walk." And Gopal was forced to say, "Okay, checkmate. You got me there. You caught me there." And he walked all the way. All the way. Long, long, long way. Yes, so deity worship is very attractive. What to speak of for the elevated devotees, but even for the neophytes, it's very attractive. And the advanced devotees sometimes enjoy intimate relationships with their worshipable deity. Let me just tell you one deity story. Or maybe I'll tell you a couple of deity stories. Well, I just told you one. Sakshi Gopal. So there was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, personal associate, called Goridas Pandit, who lived in a town called Kalna. It's commonly called now Ambika Kalna. So he asked Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, if he could have deities made of them. And the Lord agreed. And those were the first deities of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And they're still there in the temple at the place where the house used to be of Goridas Pandit in Ambika Kalna. Very nice deities. So Goridas, he had such a deep personal relationship with the deities, and every day he would cook for them, and he would get so much into it every single day that on his own, with no help, no one to buy the ingredients, no one to help cut them and make them ready, no one to help cook them, no one to help offer them, no one to help clean up afterwards. Goridas was doing everything himself. And it took all day. It took all day. And by the end of the day, after he'd finished getting everything, cutting everything, cooking everything, offering everything, cleaning everything, by the time that was all done, he was exhausted. So one day, when he was just offering all the different food preparations, because he'd make many different vegetable preparations. He'd make many savories and samosas and so on, and different types of rice, different types of dal, different types of samosas, kachoris, rotis, sweets, and all these things. And then, about 5 o'clock or so in the late afternoon, when he was just, he could barely function because he was so tired, he'd bring in the offering, put it in front of Gornatai, say the mantras, and that would basically be that. He'd take away the offering after a little while, but he was exhausted. So one day, as he was in the process of doing the offering on the altar, Lord Chaitanya said, the deity of Lord Chaitanya, the deity of Lord Chaitanya said, that Goridas, I don't like to see you so exhausted. It's really nice that you cook so many preparations, but we don't need so much. We'll be happy just with some rice. And shark means like some spinach of some sort. That's enough for us. And then you can do some other service. You can sing for us. You can read some scripture to us so we can hear and enjoy. And Goridas looked at Lord Chaitanya. He looked at Lord Chaitanya. And he said, so, I understand. You don't like my cooking. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, we love your cooking. Your cooking is really nice. But we just don't like to see you so exhausted, so you can't do anything else. And Gauridas then looked at Lord Nityananda and said, you also, right? You don't like my cooking also. And Lord Nityananda said, no, your cooking is wonderful. I love your cooking. But it's the same thing. We'd like it if you got the opportunity to do some other type of service, like some singing, some kirtan. We want to hear your kirtan. And Gauridas said, okay, I understand. Neither of you likes my cooking. And he really got into a sort of depression. And both Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, both of them, they're saying, no, we love your cooking. Your cooking is excellent. But Gauridas would not listen. So in the end, Lord Chaitanya, the deity of Lord Chaitanya, and the deity of Lord Nityananda, they said to Gauridas, listen, you just cook whatever you like, anything. Don't worry about how we feel. Just you, whatever you want to offer, just offer it, and we'll accept it. So then Gauridas was happy. And of course, the point, an important point, is that the deity, that Krishna, he's not really worried if the cooking is very fancy or sophisticated. He's only interested in the love and devotion. And therefore, because the very advanced devotees have great love for the Lord, then whatever they offer, the Lord is happy to accept. Yes. So that's a little deity story, how the advanced devotees enjoy intimate relationships with their worshipable deity. Yes. And for such devotees, the Lord's acceptance of even the simplest act of devotion brings profound devotional ecstasies. Let me tell you another little story. Just before the battle of Kurukshetra, Lord Chaitanya went to Hastinapur, which was the capital of the Kauravas, who were opposed to the Pandavas, and the Kauravas were opposed to Krishna. So the Kauravas, they're the bad guys, you can say. Lord Krishna went there just before the battle in order to try to negotiate peace so the battle didn't have to take place. But anyway, it's a long story. When Lord Krishna arrived in the city, he was walking around. And he met Duryodhan, who was the chief of the villains, the Kauravas, the other side, anti-Krishna, anti the Pandavas. And Duryodhan invited Krishna, please come to our palace for lunch. And Krishna said, thank you very much. And then they parted ways. Krishna continued walking here and there. And then he bumped into his very dear devotee, Vidura. And Vidura, Duryodhan is the king, basically. So the lunch that he would offer Krishna would be a royal feast. But Vidura was basically poverty-stricken. But because he's such a nice devotee, he asked Lord Krishna, won't you please come to my house for lunch? So now Krishna has two lunch invitations, which to accept. The royal feast from Duryodhana, although Duryodhana is not a devotee, really not a devotee. Or the simple whatever Vidura and his wife could offer, because they were devotees, great devotees. So I think you can guess what choice Krishna made. He went to the house of Vidura and his wife, and he arrived. They were so happy to receive him. And then the Lord said, okay, what's for lunch? But Vidura and his wife, they were so poor. They had nothing. They felt very embarrassed. But then they remembered they had some bananas out the back somewhere. There were some bananas. So they offered the bananas and then started feeding them to Krishna, bananas alone. And they were in so much ecstasy that our beloved Lord Krishna has come and he's visiting us, that they just sort of lost control of themselves. So the wife of Vidura was peeling the bananas, but she was in such ecstasy. She was throwing away the fruit and handing the skin to her husband, Vidura, who was then giving it to the Lord. And Vidura was in such ecstasy, he didn't notice that I'm not giving the actual banana, I'm giving the skin. And Krishna was in so much ecstasy that he didn't notice. And Krishna was eating the banana skin. And after a while, Krishna said, you know, these are the nicest bananas I've ever eaten. Now, not because banana skins are nice to eat. Generally, they are not. If you want to do a test, I'm sure you can find a banana, you know, today, or at least tomorrow, I'm sure you can find a banana and try eating the skin and see what you think. But generally, banana skin is not really eaten and it's not regarded as being nice. But Krishna was eating them and sincerely saying, these are the best bananas I've ever eaten. How could that be? It's not that he's just acting, lying to them, that actually they're not nice, but to keep them happy, Vidura and his wife, Krishna saying, oh, they're very nice, but actually they're horrible. No, the thing is, the Lord tastes the love when some food is offered to him. The Lord tastes the love. He doesn't really care about the quality of the food. He cares about the love. Of course, if there is love there, the devotee who's cooking will want to make the food, which is to be offered to the Lord, the devotee will want to make the food of the best possible quality. That's part of his or her devotion. But even if somehow the food is not nice, but if it's offered with devotion, the Lord is pleased. So these things go on between the elevated devotees and the Supreme, and the deities they worship. So, therefore, Narada found Shiva deeply absorbed in Sankirtan, reciting prayers to Lord Sankarsha. Well, a point is made, it's a little subtle, that both Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are guna avatars. It means special types of incarnations of the Lord. But still, Shiva is more elevated. This point is there. This is why Brahma sent Narada to Lord Shiva and not directly off to Vaikuntha to meet Lakshmi or some associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha. So the thing is that Lord Brahma is a jiva like us. As we've mentioned, all of us have been Lord Brahmas before. Because Brahma is a post. It's like a job, like being the foreman or something. It's a type of job. But Lord Shiva is higher than Lord Brahma. So, therefore, Lord Shiva is non-different from Lord Vishnu in a more literal sense. Yes. The post of Lord Brahma is practically always occupied by a jiva like us. But no jiva can take the post of Lord Shiva. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in Madhurika Dhamini, he does make the point that sometimes it happens, but it's so rare. Whereas Brahma is almost always a jiva like us. But it's so rare that a jiva takes the position of Lord Shiva. It's so rare that it's possible to say that it doesn't really happen. It doesn't really happen. No jiva becomes Lord Shiva. I mean, close to no jiva. So, yes, all these very nice things are said here about Lord Shiva. Yes. So, and the followers of Lord Shiva on Shiva Loka, they're all great devotees and followers of Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava. There, Lord Shiva is not like a demigod receiving worship in order from people who want to just receive material benefit. Here now, we're not in the material world. We're in a special zone, which is outside the material realm, but it's not exactly like the normal Vaikuntha sphere. There's an element of marginalness in it. Yes. So, then there's a verse which we've referred to, I think a couple of days ago, I forget exactly, in which Lord Shiva's speaking. It's the fourth canto, chapter 24, verse 29. And yes, so Lord Shiva's speaking. A person who strictly executes his occupational duty without deviation for 100 births becomes qualified to occupy the post of Brahma. And so this is Shiva speaking. And if he becomes more qualified, he can approach me, Shiva says. You can become Lord Brahma. But if you become more qualified, then you can associate with Lord Shiva. Not that if you become more qualified, you can become a Lord Shiva. You can get his association. Yes. So Narada saw there were many people there on Shiva Loka, and they're all Vaishnavas. They're followers of Lord Shiva, but they're following him in his mood of being a devotee. So they're also devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah, and they've picked up the mood. You know, when you associate with a person long enough, particularly if it's an influential type of person, then you will become influenced by them, and you will start, at least to some degree, acting like them. That sort of thing. Yes. So, seeing all of this, seeing all the devotees, Nandishvara, Uma, Parvati, serving and particularly singing so beautifully the glories of the Lord. Lord Shiva praised them. He was so happy. What beautiful Krishna Kirtan. What beautiful bhajan. Yes. And seeing this, Narada became ecstatic. And he was dancing so wildly in enthusiasm and devotion and love that he was not able to offer obeisances properly. And he wanted to continue playing on his vina. So all he didn't bow down. He wanted to just glorify more, accompanying with the vina. So he showed respect simply by nodding his head. That's what the verse says. And then he started recounting the glories of Lord Shiva as he had heard them from Lord Brahma. So now the next section is from verse 5 to verse 11. And here, now, in the beginning, in verse 5, yeah, or 5 and 6 actually, Narada Muni is glorifying Lord Shiva and dancing wildly in ecstasy. Yeah. And then starts denying. Shiva starts denying everything. Let's just carry on for a few more minutes. So this is verses 5 and 6. Yeah, okay. Narada came closer, hoping to touch the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Shiva, the best friend of the Vaishnavas. But as the sage came near, Lord Shiva, a flood of Krishna conscious pleasure driving him wild, forcibly drew Narada closer and embraced him. Without hesitating, Lord Shiva asked Narada with great respect, "Dear son of Brahma, what are you saying?" He couldn't, because Narada Muni had never ever done like that with him. Never. They're brothers. They get on very nicely. But to be in such total ecstasy, for Narada to be in such total ecstasy to see Lord Shiva, it's not like when they normally meet. They're brothers, they like to meet, but not like this. So we move on to verses 7 and 8. Absorbed in the taste of talking with that superlative Vaishnav, Narada, Lord Shiva then stopped his playful dancing and sat down. He sat on a straw mat in the Virasan posture, and a few of his gentle companions seated themselves around him. With devotion, Narada bowed down to Lord Shiva, the life and soul of Parvati, and chanted the six-syllable Rudra mantra. So there's a little comment. You know, Lord Shiva sat on a straw mat in the Virasan position. There's a little comment here that anyone who's observing a serious vow should sit on a kusha mat called a vrishi and assume the meditative Virasan or hero's sitting position, which expresses one's firm determination. So, yes, so this is what Lord Shiva did. And verse 9. Narada then recited prayers glorifying Lord Shiva as the supreme controller of the universe, and elaborately proclaimed the fullness of the mercy bestowed upon Shiva by Lord Krishna. Just, yeah, Narada's just so much into it. However, as we see in verse 10, Lord Rudra, the best of Vaishnavas, the initiator of devotional service to Vishnu, at once covered his ears and angrily replied. So here, Lord Shiva is referred to, addressed as Sarva Vaishnava Mordhanyo. In the verse, in the Sanskrit, which means the greatest of all the Vaishnavas, the chief of the Vaishnavas. So how could this be? There's also the saying, Vaishnavanam Maheshvara. Of all Vaishnavas, Lord Maheshwar is the greatest, Lord Shiva is the greatest. How could it be said? So it's said because he has initiated a whole line of teachings of pure devotional service. He founded the Rudra Sampradaya, one of the four authentic Vaishnav schools. Therefore, Lord Shiva is more famous as a devotee than as an incarnation of Vishnu. Of course, you get others who think he's just the supreme. But those who take, those who understand that he is actually a type of incarnation of Vishnu, the devotees, then generally they just see him as a devotee, as a Vaishnav themselves. And we'll finish with verse 11. Sri Rudra said, being a name for Lord Shiva, I am not the Lord of the universe, nor am I an object of Krishna's mercy. I'm just a poor soul, always hankering for the favor of the servants of his servants. Yes. Which means I can only hanker for the mercy of Krishna's servants because I'm not fortunate enough to have the mercy of Krishna. So there you go, devotees. Tomorrow, our program is at 3 o'clock South African time. Zavtra nasha programa budet v'trichasa dinyom. And we will say some things about Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So we will not have a class tomorrow at this time, only at 3. But then on Monday, again, we'll have the class at this time, at 6 o'clock, South African time, Vesemchisov po Moskve, Panedelnik. No zavtra lekcija budet v tričasa dnyom. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrita Kijai, Shri Sanatan Goswami Kijai, Gopremanandi.